How do we proceed? How do we relate to each other? How do we keep from getting derailed? How do we get to a planning process that's powerful? One that grows the seeds of a healthy future. A free and leisureful future for all of us, every single one of us, globally. This is why localism is a con. A sedative, say here. You pretend you're free while we squeeze our brothers and sisters in Africa, in China, in India. You fall asleep. And before you can get a clue what's going on, we'll have passed on. And the next generation will be left with this challenge. And that's not right. Not with all of the hard work our ancestors have done to allow us to do this right now. Because the tools exist for us too. So how do we get to a planning process that's powerful? One that grows the seeds of a healthy future, a free and leisureful future for all of us. Particularly when we aren't supported by any media but our own. Because there is a way this happens. We just have to see that way and move with it. Enough of us. So let's pause for a moment and reconsider the state. Thanks to Alice Miller and Jeremy Bentham, we now have a more developed understanding of what it is. We see that we ourselves are not just enmeshed in it, but little microcosms of it, because we've been trained by its delegates to so be, and have heretofore not been conscious of it. Conscious of the fact that we have internalized the statesman's view of us as subjects and not as being responsible for the health, each one of us, for not just the health of the planet, but of our souls. Of course, except we are told we're responsible when the evil wages of its sins descend. Then all of a sudden, we did it. So though excluded from decision-making, necessarily by the definition of the state, on us is heaped the blame for its evil ways. So while we've always had numbers, Jeremy Bentham helped powers see how to temporarily, at least, nullify that fact. And for power, everything hinges on our not being able to see and undo Bentham's gift of strategy to them, of how the few control the many. Atomization. Atomization, which then fuels divide and conquer. Which is why power is moving with such deadly purpose in this moment. To limit and control our access and use of our commonly developed technological tools. They allow us to overcome atomization and move around them and link hands together despite their bottomless pockets and create our own media by and for commoners. What we have in our favor is that every human being, from the child of three who looks at us so questioningly, to the jaded elder who has long asked, what did it mean? Every last one of us is searching for the way, the path that leads to our freedom. And there are many, many who, with but the barest outline of the clues, push forward and find the rest and run to share the good news. Are we not all humans? Is not the happiness of one dependent on the happiness of all? And is not its pursuit guaranteed to us here in the U.S. in the Declaration of Independence? Which means that as we're here to help each other, and as Marx spoke true in calling to those with means to take the lead, it falls to us here in the U.S. to forge our cross-national planning process. I think what we're unaware of here in the U.S. is the degree to which the laws of this nation were constructed specifically to contain us. We have much confusion around this. You hear this every day over the media because that's its role, to keep us duped, conned. We always hear about the division of powers and this checks that and ensures our freedom and what? What, our bodies are just lying to us? We know we're under the rule of compulsion. That's the iron law of states. Ignore what the written ones say. It is that iron law, rule of compulsion, that determines all. So he was concerned, to Tocqueville, that with that degree of coercion, it could form seeds of corruption in the body politic. He was more being obvious than prescient. Don't we now, at this pass, at this juncture, smell that foul stench that rises from the rot of class? Don't we now understand that the state is an instrument of coercion by definition and never was a manifestation of the public will, except as Bentham schooled them to the degree that the state forms the will of the majority? What this says, I think we'll see once we begin talking about it, is that the state has never been needed by we the people, and that it's only through the constant application of the pressure of necessity and blunt propaganda and systematic conditioning that we've accepted as inevitable our submission. But the reality of the state's expendability, redundancy, hasn't changed one iota. There is nothing it does that we can't do for each other and have done if we do it together in each nation as a global one, and will do, will organize to accomplish on our own. And this is seen in every instance historically, when in those rare brief moments we're left alone to meet our own challenges, like with Occupy, before the state decides how to shut it down.